Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Glory be to God. Everyone has an anointing for different things. Hallelujah. Okay? Yeah. Personally, I am, most of you know me, I'm so holy. That's what? Such subjects, eh? Amen. Yet, God considers them serious issues, and churches have to address them, eh? If churches don't talk about them, people will find some other evil channels, eh? To, you know, and they'll get wrong answers, wrong info, and that will be disastrous. Glory be to God. That will be what? Disastrous. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, last week, we began to talk about, rather, we talked about the fact that as the church, the body of Christ in general, we are the bride of Christ. Okay? So we are the bride and Christ is the groom. Alright? You all know that. Okay? And we saw or we reminded ourselves that we are not yet married to him, but we are betrothed. Yeah? Okay? We are engaged to him. Eh? And that is as good as a marriage in a sense. Eh? Okay? We reminded ourselves also that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves the bride. Okay? He loves us dearly. Yeah? Okay? And because of that, he can be provoked to jealousy. All right? He can be provoked to what? Jealousy. Yeah? We saw a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think it is verse 21. Where Paul was saying that, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? You know, are we stronger than him? Okay? And we learned that we shouldn't do that. Amen? Then we also saw that because he loves us so much, okay, we are his own. Eh? We belong to him. He is ready, always ready, eh? By the way, to take on anyone or anything that tries to come between him and the bride. Eh? Anything that tries to defile the bride. Okay? Jesus is ever ready, okay, to take on that thing. You understand? Because he loves the bride. Eh? Glory be to God. Amen? There's a scripture which read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, eh? Which says that if anyone defiles the temple of God, you know, eh? And the church is the temple of God. Eh? Says if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Okay? That scripture is very serious. Eh? Anyone defiles the temple, which is a church, which is the bride of Christ. Eh? It says God will destroy him. Amen? And here it does anyway. Yeah. Glory be to God. Amen? Then we saw, we had examples of people who got in trouble, natural lives, you know, examples from natural lives of people who got in trouble when they, you know, because they were trying to mess up people's brides. You remember? We saw the example of Abraham, okay, and Pharaoh, okay. Pharaoh took Abraham's wife, Sarah. And the Bible says that God plagued the house of Pharaoh. Plagues. Just because he took Abraham's wife, the bride. You know, Okay? Then we also saw, again, Abraham, you know, with Abimelech, another king, where, because Abimelech took Abraham's wife, the Bible says God made all the women in his house, barren. Meanwhile, these people had not yet even slept with Sarah. But just taking the bride was enough, you know, for God to unleash his wrath. You understand? Okay? So, we saw that that's how God, you know, that's how he treats us. He loves us so much and he cannot stand anyone, you know, defiling you. You know, you're so loved by God. And that was the main thing you are supposed to take away from here, that you're so loved by God, that he's by the Lord, by the groom, that he's ready to do anything, if it means to destroy, okay, anybody or anything that tries to defile you, the church. Glory be to God. Amen? So, the point is, what God wants you to remember, you know, and to meditate upon, is that he loves you so much. Glory be to God. God loves you so much. Hallelujah. Amen? God loves you, All right? You know, there's a preacher, I've been talking about him, okay, and writing about him in my words for the week, and I prefer to call him Nicodemus. Okay? People have begun laughing. That name, I don't know why that name is funny. It's in the Bible. And by the way, Nicodemus was a good guy. Okay? John chapter 3, you know? He came to Jesus. Anyway, he's a guy, Jesus, who told that you must be born again. He's a nice guy. He participated in the burial of the Lord. He was a nice guy. But these days, Nicodemus, people just begin to laugh. And then, some people start asking, who is Nicodemus? Okay, people are asking, who is Nicodemus? Who's Nicodemus? Okay, according to the Lord, you know who what Nicodemus is, but you just want me to say his real name so that you can use it against me. Hallelujah. But you know who Nicodemus. Now, this preacher, okay, I really don't, well, maybe I know, but I don't know what made him start defiling the body of Christ. Something happened to him. I don't know what he did. And then he began to what? And man, whatever he had, you know, the calling, the ministry, it was taken away from him. What now you're seeing is just, it is fake. It is what? It's fake. What now you're seeing, it is just fake. It is just hype. It is nothing. You understand? God, in a sense, got rid of him. And why? Because of you. Because of the church. Because he loves what? The church. It's all love, by the way. It's not that God hates anyone. But man, you don't mess with a bride. Glory be to God. Amen? Someone, Joseph, was telling me on Sunday. Where were we on Sunday? We're somewhere. So he told me on Sunday that he was with a certain, he was talking to a certain lady here in church. And this lady, apparently for her, she knows who Nicodemus is. She's like you. Okay? She knows who Nicodemus is, just like you. Alright? So she said that her mother, okay, is a kind. Any visitor who you know, comes to their home, man, she makes a big deal of anybody, however high or low the visitor is. You know, however what? High or low. Amen. Okay? Anybody, man, she will, you know, she makes, if that person comes on, man, okay, she will, anyway, it will be like the president has come. Okay? So now this lady, in reality, she had a dream. I don't know when it was. In this dream, when Nicodemus came to their home. Okay? Nicodemus did what? Came to their home to visit. But now the mom didn't, she was like indifferent. But in real life, the mom makes a big deal about any visitor. You know, I guess whether it's a shamba boy, whether it is a street, any person comes home, it's a big deal. But in this dream, when Nicodemus comes home, and the mom is indifferent. What does that mean? I'm not going to answer that question. You're going to answer it. What does that mean? Susan?
The mom is tired.
The mom is tired. But in real life, whether the mom is tired, I don't know, she makes a big deal out of any visitor. You understand? Okay? So what does that mean? Glory to God. Alan.
Nicodemus is shady.
Is shady? No. Where in the dream does this show is shady? The mom makes a big deal out of any visitor who comes. You understand? But in the dream, when Nicodemus comes, and she didn't care. She's... Yes. I don't know you, but you know English. So you have heard the question, and an answer is needed.
I think maybe there's something wrong with Nicodemus.
But you guys... Okay, who wants to try? Anyway, to me, I think it just means that Nicodemus is nothing. You understand? And actually, it may mean that he's actually shady. That's why because the mother makes a big deal out of anyone. But now this one doesn't. You understand? It just means anyway, Nicodemus doesn't have the CV most of you think he has. You understand? All these things are just outside things meant to deceive you and again to defy you. Not you, the church. Glory be to God. Now that is very serious. Last year, in October, we talked about this with people who came for the Bible study for the prayer meeting. On Thursday, there's someone in this church, last year, October, this person had a dream, okay? In the dream, they were applying for a job, a contract, they were bidding, okay? And when you're bidding for work, you know, you put together a team of people. You say, we can do this. Let's say if it is construction, you say, yes, I'm a civil engineer, okay? And we have an electrical, you know, engineer. And we have, you know, you put together a team and you show guys, say, we can do this job. Okay? So in the dream, this person was bidding for this work. And, you know, on his team, he put Nicodemus. All right? He took, then he showed his team members what he has put. You know, this is what I put together. Then they told him, but why have you put this guy? His CV no longer works. You understand? They said it used to work them days. You know, but now it no longer works. They didn't say that he has never had a CV. You know, he has never had a CV and it used to work. But now he has no CV. You understand? Okay? It's just now, those things, you know, God says, we do not consider what we see. Okay? You know, Paul said that. He said, we consider what is not seen. So somehow, you have to get blind to what you see, so that you can be able to see with the eyes of your spirit the reality. Otherwise, if you don't see that, you're going to you're going to continue being raped, you know, in all ways, financial and what? Okay? That dream I had, when was it? When was it? 6 weeks ago or a month ago? When I dreamt one man, you know, a lady was being raped. Now, in the dream, by the way, this guy was not only raping a lady I talked about, but on the bed, there were other chicks just shouting, So you could tell that there are so many who are being defied and they are all just what? Shouting. You understand? Now, when anyone does something like that to the body of Christ, to the bride, they are in big trouble. You understand? They're in big trouble. Okay? Now, there's some people who don't like some preachers. Okay? Like there's a guy who was here last Sunday. He's a member of this church. But he comes once in 6 months, you know. People are strange, You know, and then so last Sunday he came. So then after he sent me a text, he said, yeah, powerful message. Thank you for being bold, what? Now I know him. We are friends many years ago, anyway, but we are, you know, we are friends anyway. So immediately now I know him. There's a preacher he didn't like. So now according to him, he said, thank you. And I knew also there was some guy. Of course, even that guy also has his issues. Okay. So again, he thought we were on the same page. I told him, so I asked him, who is Nicodemus? Then he said, I can't tell. But then he sent me a name. And it was exactly that guy he doesn't like. You know, the guy he didn't like. I told him, I told him anyway, you're one of those who, those 4 words of the week, you're one of those who have read them with the head, not with the heart. And since then, I haven't heard anything from him. You know, So again, I'm sure there are people here who have a certain picture they don't like, and they're like, you know, But the moment it dawns on them what I'm talking about, see you, you know, God has told me to leave this church, you understand? Because people have created a God, someone is in touch, someone is infallible. You can't dare, you can't infallible. You know, people have created a God. And, man, broken hearts. You remember? Honest, where she is, Honest, she dreamt, man, she was crying in a dream. She saw God, I trusted him so much. I trusted so, you know, I came here looking for you. She was crying in the dream. When she saw what Nicodemus did, you know, which was destructive to people. She saw it, and she said, I can't go on national television and saw what I saw. He did it. You know, she cried in the dream. Why? Because she trusted so much. You know, and she thought God was in the place. All right? You know, she spent the whole day indoors, man. Broken heart. There's a guy I was talking to last week. You know, a friend of mine, you know, I was talking to him. Then the guy said, nah, hey, pastor, what? Oh, what was it? Omenyo mutima. The guy said, but he knew that what I was saying was true. Say, Pastor, me, no, Obanze, all the words I was saying, but again, say, man, no, menyo, be menyo mutima. And I told him now, you're even what, saying that, but if you are a chick, you'll be crying. You'll be crying. But you want menyo mutima. But chicks can't be broken hearted and not cry. You know, I told him you'll be what? You'll cry. You mean? But the whole thing is messing with this thing, called the bride of Christ. So that is how precious you are. God is ready to take on anyone just because of you. Amen? That's, you're so precious, in the eyes of God. You're so loved. You're that important. Glory be to God. Amen? God is good. These things are what? No, they're not serious. They are what? Very, very serious. And by the way, they are heartbreaking. I told you guys on Thursday, okay? Now, by the way, don't think this thing is funny, like I'm having a blast, this whole thing that is happening in Kampala now with this Nicodemus guy. Okay? I'm not enjoying it. That's why, by the way, on Friday, I always this the anyway. I always take off like an hour to pray for this thing, man. My prayer is in case he hasn't crossed the line into hell, that he might what be drawn back. I'm praying. So don't think I'm having a blast with this thing. I've never been to hell. Like go to show me how hell is, but I've heard stories of people who have been there, and it's not funny. You know that it's not funny. So that's why when you man these dreams, which began like in May, people have been dreaming since May, and the way the dreams are, you're like, is this person still born again? Hey, you're like, man, but like, in case they are the age, Father, you know, hey, I pray every Friday like an hour. Okay, so recently I was in someone who told me that there is someone. I thought I'd done a good work with dream interpretation in this church, but God was like, "You haven't done nothing." So someone who told me that there's a lady in this church who had a dream one time when another preacher who's close to Unicodemus. Okay, let's call him Epaphras. Epaphras is in Colossians, and I think, you know, he's there, Epaphras. Okay, in this dream, this lady goes to consult, to inquire from Epaphras, something, and Epaphras had an office. So now, this lady goes there to inquire of him. So, when she gets there, I think the security guard tells her that Epaphras is not what? Around, but wait, he's coming. Okay? Then there was someone passing by who heard this security guard telling Epaphras, no, telling this girl that to wait. Then the guy said, he said that, why are you telling people to wait for Epaphras, yet he died a long time ago? Man, when I had that dream that day, I had it like at night, like 8 p.m. or something like that. Man, I was so heartbroken because I know that, you know, I just knew, man, I can't eat food. Okay? I remember I drove home. I just knew, man, this. You know, I went, I just entered the showers, I showered, went into bed, you know, like just to pray. You know, I couldn't eat, no appetite. Because I was like, if this thing means spiritual death, it means hell. And for some people, depending on your level of maturity, do you understand? The Bible says, if you drift away, you understand? You can never come back to repentance. It's there in Hebrews. So in a sense, it's not true that one saved or a saved. It's there. You can, you know, if you your level of maturity, you qualify this. He says, and you fall away. You cannot be renewed to repentance. And I was like, man, I was like, this thing is very serious. I went to pray. I was like, go, you know, these things, brother, are very heartbreaking. They're not funny, Okay, but the reason why I speak them is so that you can quickly get out from the defilement you're involved in, thinking that you're what? That you're serving God, you're supporting what? Yet you're being abused, man, by something which is no longer God, it is just demonic. Even what is coming out of there, the preachings, what? Someone had a dream where God was calling it defiled food. So you're there, you say, for me, I just hear, I don't give. Well, defilement is entering you. For you think into Biakuzanya. But you don't have to leave. Again, this is what I tell people. Never let anyone take away your right to choose. Never let anyone do that to you, your right to choose what you want to do. Anyone who tries to do that, run away from them. So I tell people, I've just given you this, but do what you want to do. You understand? Okay? But this thing, okay? If you think these things are fake, go ask God. Okay? He will shock you. And I think that's why some people, when you tell them to go ask God, they don't want. They say, no, we can't, I know the truth. You know, I think guys are in this mode of man. Because I know this Moses guy, okay, from history, his dreams, do you understand? So people are in fear, they're mad. We might go and ask God, and he tells them, Moses is right. Then everything they have built their lives upon, think about all the money they have lost. Maybe they would have built a house. They are like, with this guy, everything I've ever wanted in life is coming. And exactly that's why this thing has to be destroyed, because people have built on a foundation which is not Jesus. You understand? Jesus is the only foundation people are supposed to build upon. Not any human being, not this Pastor Moses guys. They are just humans like you, but only that they have a different job description from you. You understand? Their job is to preach to me, you understand? But they're humans like you. You can't elevate a human to the status of God. People don't believe God can do for them anything unless, you know, they are in what? Relationship with human beings. Once upon a time, before they got to know this guy, God was doing good things for them. God made them pass their exams. You understand? God gave them a job. You know, their sister got a kid. Many things. God gave them food. All of a sudden, people, hey man, this thing, it must be deep. Like, this spell is very serious. All of a sudden, people don't think God can do any good thing for them unless they're with this guy. What happened? Before you met him, God was doing good things for you. All of a sudden now, everything God does, they attribute it to the other guy. We have become worse than Catholics. Worse than Catholics, I'm telling you. Catholics have their Pope and their saints. You're in there. Guys here have done the same thing. They have put someone between them and the Lord. And they're calling it all kinds of names. They have even scriptures. You know, but this is deception. All of a sudden, you've convinced yourself that God can't do anything good for you. Unless, where did that come from? Before you met him, didn't you have makeup? You had it. Now all of a sudden, you believe if you delink from this guy, no, you understand? Man, that is high level indoctrination. You understand? But when you think about these things, this is very, very serious. Someone is in LAT. God does for them something, or God gives a promise to LAT. This is going to happen. Let's say a marriage anointing. We are those things. Okay, LAT, marriage anointing. Then someone gets married. Okay? But again, this is indoctrination. Now, they will say it is because of their guy that got married. And they go and testify. Then you look at liars. Liars proper. You trace where their thing came from. It was LAT. But according to them, God doesn't do anything. Any good thing to anybody. Amen? Now, that is what? That is idolatry. And to show that Nicodemus has no plans to stop the idolatry. If he had plans, he would have done it already. Okay? People are calling him Prince of Peace. And some of you might be here. People are calling him all things. You understand? And no one comes to say, you guys, shut up. This is not true. On the contrary, people are fanning it into flame. And the reason why Nicodemus is not stopping that is because something happened to him already. You know, Prince, You're the same guys who are saying, Gaddafi is not the king of kings. That is Jesus. And in fact, God is going to kill him. How do you say that? It's only Jesus. Now, you yourself now, you understand? And the guys, many apparently, I hear some people are calling him God. They get a scripture say, Katiwano, put God. You know, where there's God, put his name. And people are saying, yeah, you know. These things are very serious. So what is happening? The bride, someone is messing up the bride. Okay? And the Lord can't stand seeing that happening to his bride. Because he loves you. Hallelujah. He does what? He loves you. But this is what you should take from today. Just like last Sunday. That the Lord loves you and is ready to take on anybody who tries to defile, okay, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It is that simple. It is that what? At the beginning of the year, there were dreams. Here at church. No, one dream. But the dream was saying, was telling people to start saving money, you know, to be used at a later time and it will benefit them, you understand? So I tell people, that money you've been giving Unicodemus. Okay, if you're in LAT, please, I tell them, don't bring it to LAT. That is the money now you should be saving. So you're not only not saving what you have, what you should be saving, but you're also supporting a work that is very demonic. You're supporting it. And when God unleashes judgment, everything, every person that is attached to that thing also suffers the judgment. That's why there's something in the Bible, a principle called cities of refuge. If you want to survive, when God unleashes judgment over something, you have to flee for something which, you know, there's a covering over it. Otherwise, alright, so you're loved. Okay, you're what? Dearly loved by God. Amen. Since last year, July, when I began to talk about this, July, the numbers in LAT started going down. Why? Because you can't dare talk about our God. Our God is infallible. This guy doesn't sin. People no longer hear from God, I heard. Apparently, people rewrite it that as long as they are saved, that's it. Hear from God for what? The man, you know, you're saved. This, the voice of God, you understand? So, very sad things. Very what? Sad things. So, the numbers went down. Okay? Amen? Yeah. People worship team. See you. Don't. Our God. Our God. So, broken hearts are coming. But in the meantime, they are taking in defilements. So when these things happen, especially for someone in LAT who has been here like for 2 years, I start thinking that I think I didn't do a good work in this person. How could they make a decision like this? Then I realize, I think. But then I'm like, no. It's like you can't blame Adam's fall on the Lord. You understand? Adam, you know, but you know, he say you know. So like, yeah. People, again, the right to choose. You should never take it away from anybody. And these guys, by the way, are taking away that right to choose. Right now, I hear from what they are saying. The things they are saying, they're taking away that right from people to choose. Close your ears. Don't listen to anybody. You know, That is exactly how cows operate. You know, they're taking out the right food. You know, they're doing exactly what political governments do, dictators. Same thing. Hallelujah. So the Lord loves you, okay? So there's some of you who are feeling sad. So let's talk about some more exciting things. I hope they have an anointing on them. Best, you know. But so we talked about that. You're the bride of Christ. Okay, so we're going to go through the process of the Jewish, you know, okay? Just to give you some scriptures for the day. Because I didn't open the Bible, just to give you what. Okay? Slide number one. You know, Ephesians 5, 31, 32 says, for we are members of his body, you know that, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. Then he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. All right, let's go on. Yeah, so we're going to take lessons from the Jewish wedding. All right, these slides, I got them from Dr. Richard. Mwesigwa. He made them like 4 years ago. Okay, so I got them and I decided to edit them, okay? Yeah, just to let you know. So, there was first the betrothal, you know, and then the wedding. Now, for us, the church is betrothed to Christ. The wedding hasn't yet happened, but it's coming, all right? So, those were the steps, okay? A traditional Jewish wedding we'll go through. Yeah. So, number one, there was selection of the bride. Okay? And now Jesus selected you. You're part of his bride. That's why he says that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. All right? You didn't choose him, but he chose you as his bride. Okay? That is the selection. Then, after that, the families would meet and they would talk about the bride price. And the groom would go on and give the bride price. Hallelujah. Now, the bride price, okay, had to be something worthy of the bride. It didn't have, you know, it's something to show that man, the person you're interested in is valuable. Okay? It wasn't to buy, it was just a token, and it was also a token of legal exchange. Now, when it comes to you and the Lord, the Lord also paid a bride price for you. In 1 Peter chapter 18, verse 19, it says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Alright? That is what? And blood here, it symbolizes life. Okay? Leviticus says, you know, life is in the blood. So here it just means you are bought with the precious life of the Lord. Okay? That's how precious you are. That's how much you're loved. You know, And that's why God is ready to destroy anything, any person that tries to mess you up. Okay? Those are some people who enjoy being messed up. Okay? Then there was the ketubah, which was terms and conditions for that relationship. Of course, like we all know, our terms and conditions are the word of God. Okay? The word of God. Okay? All right? You go back and what? Look at these things. Okay? Yes. Now, the bride, you just don't get interested in a chick and then you say, you go to the father and they say, yeah. She had to say, she had to consent. You remember that story of Abraham? You know, wanted to get a bride for his son Isaac. Okay? This is interesting, by the way. This girl was 40 years old. Anyway, but that's beside the point. So when they go to Rebecca, the bride to be, she had to consent. You know, they asked her that, will you go with this man? This is Eliezer, the servant who was supposed to take her to Isaac. They asked her, will you go? Are you interested? You know, is this guy handsome? You understand? I said, yes, according to me, beauty is in the eyes of the what? Yeah, he's a hunk. You know, and she accepted. By the way, the Bible doesn't write everything. So just because it's not written in the Bible does not mean that she didn't say it. Do you understand? The Bible is me. You know, John said that if all the things Jesus did were written, okay, there wouldn't be enough books, you understand, to fill up all that stuff. You know, so it's possible that the guy say, yeah, you know, And, but remember, the guy went with a CV, Eliezer. Went with a CV. Say, first of all, he went, my servant, Abraham. He said, God has blessed him in all ways. You know, so God has made him rich. Those are the things he said when he got there. Say, man, this is a loaded family. You understand? So, that CV alone, loaded family, say, God has made my servant rich. It's there. Okay? So, don't you think that also man made Rebecca, you know? Of course, the Holy Ghost was involved, you understand? But the Holy Ghost is dealing with carnal humans. You understand? So now and again, he has to put in things which appeal to carnal. You understand? But you don't have to agree with me. Let's go on. All right? Now, with us also, you know, you're not forced to get born again. Neither are you forced to remain born again. This doctrine, once saved, always saved, it's wrong. You can get born again and you can jump out. You understand? You can. And I hope Nicodemus and those fellows around him haven't opted out. But from the dreams which we are receiving, which I haven't shared with you, the thing they're dealing with, it's against. Anyway, but you consent, okay? The Bible says Jesus came to his own and his own rejected him. But as many as received him, he gave them the power, the right to become the sons of God. The sons of God who make up the church, the body of Christ. Glory be to God. Okay? Then there was the cup of the covenant. Okay? So the grooms served the cup of wine as a sign of the marriage or covenant. And both parties drank from the same cup. Okay? Just like Jesus with us, you know, we are represented by the apostles at the Last Supper, you know, and they drank from that cup. Glory be to God. Amen? Then the groom presented very precious gifts to the bride that were memorable and valuable. Valuable enough to make her remember him in absentia. Okay? This was like, let's say, in Uganda, here in central Uganda, you know, in central Uganda, like an intro, Okay? Where you do an intro today, and then maybe a week later or a year later, you also do what? The year. So it was something of the kind, but they were gifts in addition to the bride price. Okay? Gifts. And gifts would have to be very, you know, good enough for someone to remember you as you are away. Okay? And now for us, the church, the gift the Lord left with us, is the Holy Spirit. All right? Jesus said that, but when the Helper comes, that is the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Okay? So Jesus is no longer here, you know, physically, but there's the Holy Spirit who testifies of him. In fact, the another verse which says that he will bring remembrance of the things that I said unto you. The Holy Spirit. Okay? Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, it says, in him, with Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption or the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Okay? The Holy Spirit, the down payment. Okay? He is there to show that God will finish what he began with you. Glory be to God. He is there to show that he's coming. Eh? You know, the groom is coming back again for you. So he's always reminding you, of the Lord. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, when you see what Nicodemus and company are doing, all the attention right now is to draw it, to themselves. You understand? You know, these things are hard to see. You know, number one, if you're stupid. Number two, if you're in there in the thick of things. But when you withdraw a bit, this way you can start seeing the obvious. Really. You mean I wasn't seeing that? You understand? When you look at everything they do, everything that comes up, you know, of course they say with the Lord, but when you look at it real well, it is to a person. All the attention, all the glory, you understand? It is to a person. You understand? So what are they doing? They're just trying to take the bride away, from the, it is a person. Because if you say that God cannot do anything for you unless you're with this guy. So what does it mean? It means this guy is more important to you than the Lord. When you think about these things, Bologna, this is what it implies. For you to say, Jesus, the Father, God the Father, cannot do anything for you unless you are in collaboration with this guy. Guys, don't even put Jesus there, man. They have put a human. When you first retract a bit and start looking at these things well. This is what they're doing. So that means that even now, the name of the Lord, they're actually using it to draw attention to a human. But the Holy Spirit didn't come, even the Holy Spirit didn't come to do that, to draw attention to himself. He came to testify of the Lord. Testify of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, he has the CV to draw attention. I am holy. First of all, holy. Holy Spirit. So man, gaze, look at me. Okay? Now here, human beings, now they're like what? They have convinced stupid people. That God can't do anything for them without a human being. People are no longer talking about Jesus, man. When they talk about Jesus, it has to end into what? A human being. This is very serious, guys. But when you're in the thick of sin, you're shouting like those girls I saw on the bed, just shouting. You cannot see these things. Okay? Glory be to God. Okay? So, the groom would leave. After he has done the bride price, the gifts, the cup of the covenant, drank from me, then he would leave. He will go back to his home, to his father, to prepare a place, a bridal chamber. Okay? And there are very few people here who are below 18 years. Glory be to God. But you all know what happens in a bridal chamber. Anyway, so, okay? And the process, anyway, it will take that long, Okay? So Jesus, when he was leaving, he says, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive it to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. All right? That's how precious you are to Jesus. He left, okay, but he didn't leave you alone. Remember, he said, I'll not leave you as orphans. You know, I'll leave you a helper, the Holy Spirit. You know, he will remind you about me while I am away, okay? And while I'm away, I'm there, you know, preparing a place for you, a bridal chamber. Glory be to God. Okay? That's how precious. And you see, this place he's preparing for you, it is in heaven. It is not some cafe house in Bugos, you know, in Aguru. There's some place in Uruzira, Butavika. What is it called? Any of those, whatever. This place is in heaven. That's how precious you are. It's not just some car, you know, some car place in Indian world. Okay? My wife these days is sleeping late because she's watching some guys in the Indian world. Some guys playing Indian world, you know? And it's a beautiful place. Okay? Have you ever been around that, what? The neighborhood. That place is beautiful. Okay? Southern California. Beautiful place. Okay? But now, where, you know, what God is preparing for you, what Jesus is preparing for you, it is in a far more glorious place. It's in heaven. Alright? Let's go on. Okay? So, there was the wait while he's away. Okay? So the groom's father determined the readiness of the son to go and get his bride. The son had no control over the day of his return. That's why when it comes to the church, you know, Jesus said that, but of that day, when I'll come again, of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the son, but only the father. Okay? Then he says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Okay? And the bride had to, basically the bride had to be already. Because she doesn't know when, but she knows it is any time. So she was always ready, okay? In case it comes, you know, she was always ready. Okay? Then, there was this thing, which I always didn't know, but I got to know it, recently. This, I don't know how you pronounce that word. Okay? If you're Muganda, don't attempt. Okay? Okay? So, the bride had to take a ritual bath that signified the end of her maidenhood to start off. She was considered a new creature as she started her what? Marriage. So, a bath. That sounds like baptism. Alright? When you get born again, okay? Jesus said, go and preach, you know, he then says, whoever who believes, you know, will be what? Will be saved, and then he told them, baptize them in my name. You know, Okay? So, when you look at this, it's like the Jewish culture is the best culture. It trumps all your cultures, man. Glory be to God. Come to a topic that I love, dishing cultures, stupid cultures. Glory be to God. By the way, God is not against culture. I hope you know that. He's against the evil things in the what? In the culture, but he's not against culture. Okay? And you all know the evil things in your what? Okay? In your intros. this world is so evil. And anyway, so baptism was essentially that. The ritual bath. Then now the return of the groom, and Jesus is coming back. Alright? The return of the groom was often done at the midnight hour. One had to shout, the groom had to shout and blow the trumpet from afar to announce his arrival. Basically, so that the bride can, what? There's a culture where man be promote stealing, theft. Eh? Well, I don't know if it is theft. You'll excuse me if it's not. A culture where, you know, yeah, is it at intros or okingira? Where the girl runs to the house, the first thing she touches, you understand? And I don't know whether that is theft or, but it sounds like theft. But that is something else. Eh? You're like, but Pastor, you're squeezing things to where things are not, you know? But yeah. Okay, so he blows the trumpet and gets the bride ready to be caught away. Okay? Just like, you know, there's this thing called the rapture, where the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall arise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, okay, to be with him forever. Okay? Some guys were shocked. Say, Pastor actually knows scriptures. He can say them off head. He not only knows dreams about Nicodemus. These guys, Nicodemus and group, and you are in that camp. People, man, right, the Bible now has become irrelevant. You know, the Bible has become irrelevant to these guys and chicks. As long as Nicodemus has said, people now don't seek God. People don't seek God. Seek God for what? When there's someone who can tell you what God is saying. Seek God for what? Some people believe, and I believe that the Bible is God speaking to you. People are now for, that's how far guys have taken this thing. You know, these things are sad, man. But you can only see them if you first take a week off, and But when you're in there, it's hard. Seek God for what? You understand? If you're to seek God, it should be to seek God, for God to speak to Nicodemus about you. Always Nicodemus is there in this picture. He's there in the picture. There's nothing being done for someone to do in Christianity without Nicodemus. I'm telling you, you go back and start thinking about now one of those things. Go now, I'm just, removing the veil. That's what you can really see these things. Seek God for what? You understand? Okay? So anyway, it says, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18, it says that for the Lord himself, the groom, will descend, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and we the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Glory be to God. Forever be with our what? With our groom. Glory be to God. And of course when he catches us away, okay? You know where he's taking us. Eh? Remember, he has been preparing a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again so that where I am, you may also be. Okay? That is the reason for now, for his coming back again. Glory be to God. Okay? And so they will go to the bride door. Chamber, and the Jewish culture says that they would spend 7 days, okay, at the far, where he built a house for her or a chamber for her, 7 days. Now, that's why some people say that when the rapture happens, okay, we shall be away for 7 years, all right? You talk to some people, say, no, 3.5 years. You talk to some other people, say, no, the rapture is happening. But anyway, guys have their own thing. Yeah? Okay? But some people, based on this, in addition to other things, they say 7 years. If our relationship with the Lord is like husband and groom, is like the Jewish culture wedding, okay, then, yeah. So they believe that. Eh? Okay? And then, yeah, so they'll be there to consummate the marriage while the friend of the groom waited on the door. Okay? Yeah, man. Eh? This also sounds very evil, eh? But it's not evil. Eh? Okay? Consummating a marriage is not evil. Yeah, you understand. Eh? Okay? Now, okay, wait. Yes. So, yeah. By the way, there's, I think, cultures here also have something like that. Eh? I think for them, they go with a senga. Eh? Yes. Yeah, with a senga. Yeah. Man, I have a big sister. You know, she was the first one to get what? Married among my sisters. Anyway, at that time I was very young when she got married. But the story goes, I don't know if it's true. The story goes that that wedding, that function, you know, caused issues between her and my dad. Why? Because she refused to go with the thing. Why? Kwanga, yeah, she was getting married to a pastor. We are saved. No, those, you understand? So the story goes that what? That thing created issues. Why she refused culture? Okay? I don't know if by the time my dad was, passed away, they had sorted each other out. Okay? But man, but for the Jews, it wasn't a Senga. Eh? Maybe the Senga was there also, we don't know. Eh? But at least we know that was the friend of the groom. Okay? Who would wait at the door, then he would tell something, yeah, it has happened, then he would go and tell now the people waiting to celebrate. You know, the marriage supper, the law, you know, And then say, yeah, you know, Hey, good news. I'm not the one who started this topic. It is Sam. Sam, you're the one who opened, what? Okay? By the way, unknowing to us, for we have been talking about family, marriage. Do you know that? You are here for 3 weeks. You talked about family. You know, Then, last week, you remember Bible study, we are studying the final quiz. Man, last week I go to where now? You can't jump over this thing. You have to talk about families, marriage. In the final quiz. Of course, I wanted to jump over it because I'm not an expert in that thing, but I was like, wait a minute. Eh? Okay, then the previous Sunday, which is last Sunday, we're talking about again bridegroom. Eh? So could it be? Because these things, I realize that man, sometimes you're talking something, but you know, beneath the surface, God is also speaking about something else. And people have to be sharp to get it. So I was like, what a coincidence. Eh? Okay? So could it be that there's something like a marriage anointing? Alright? You know, You take note of these things. Or it might not be a marriage anointing. Well, it could be that in addition to anything good that relates to marriage. You know, Yeah. Think about it. Okay? Yeah, why did you put up this scripture before I told you? But it's okay. Now, John the Baptist called himself the friend of the groom. Have you seen it? John 3? After Jesus has judged with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is John 3:3. But that's not what I'm talking about. Yes, so John the Baptist said, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, we have seen at the door, Okay, it says, he rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. You know, when you say, yeah, we what? He has been what? Consummated. He rejoices greatly. Then he runs and tells the what? The people waiting to celebrate, to begin, man, getting drunk and what, you know? Those things. You're not the first one to get drunk, by the way. This guy used to get drunk also. I hope you know that. You're not the first one to bring alcohol at your wedding. But that's something else. Huh? I hope you know that Jesus made wine. Huh? But I'm not telling you to go and take what? Alcohol. But you cannot tell people. You don't have any scripture to tell guys who have wine at their weddings that they are sinning. Believers. Totally not scripture. On the contrary, they have scriptures. Jesus made wine at the wedding of Cana. Okay? And it was very good wine. Eh? Okay? Someone, I read a story, or I was told a story, of some guy who was so zealous for these things, the word of God, you know? They said, but your Jesus made wine, you see? He made wine. And the guy said, yeah, that is the only bit I am ashamed about my Savior. That is the only bit I am ashamed about him. You guys say, Jesus, okay, yeah, you saved me now. Yeah, oh. You know, they are, you sinned. Okay? So, John the Baptist, the friend of the groom. Okay? He hears his voice and rejoices and he runs and tells the what? The people waiting to begin the feasting. Okay? That's why John the Baptist said, I am the voice. Eh? You know, crying out in the wilderness, you know, make way, you know, for the Lord. Eh? Prepare the way. You see, I'm the voice. Why was he the voice? Because he was a friend of the groom. And Jesus said that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Eh? Okay? And Jesus said, and the Bible says, that before the coming, the second coming of the Lord, Elijah is coming back. Before Jesus comes back, Elijah is coming back. Again to blow the trumpet that is coming. Just like John the Baptist, okay, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah, blew the trumpet, he was a voice crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Believe this wedding, this Jewish thing just summarizes the Bible for you. The Bible, you say, now everything you read in the Bible, just see where it whatever is into this what? This thing. Let's go on. Okay. Then, after the 7 days, consummating the marriage. Okay. Some talked about couples, someone in a couple who wants sex all the time. You know, so I don't know if these guys were having sex 7 days all the time, you know. But anyway, they were there 7 days. Hallelujah. You're the one who began it. For me, my nature, my holy nature is such that these things, I rather talk about giving, you understand? Prosperity, giving. By the way, I could be, if I'm not the best, okay? I'm either the best or I am among the best prosperity preachers in this country, if not in the world. Amen? But you're like, yeah, you can't be the best. You know? Because you don't tell us to give you what? All the money. There was a dream last year. I'll say it again just to annoy you. You've heard it, you know. Josephine Karungi has never heard it, but I'll tell her to annoy her so she didn't come back here. Okay? By the way, what is that thing called, Mark? There's something she did for us for the book. She reviewed our book, the financial prosperity book, and she put it all in it, and it was her review was put in the what? Monitor. Yeah, I've never met her since to thank her. Okay, but she read the book. You know, And she just fell short of saying, that guy, he is the best prosperity, what? Okay? She just said, yeah, he has written what other people have, no way, way, if it works every person, yeah? Anyway, but she liked the book. Now, last year, someone had a dream. Someone had a what? A dream. In this dream, there was a contest. A contest. Two preachers were competing, were in a contest, who is the best prosperity preacher? And for some of you, by the way, sorry to let you know, I am a prosperity preacher. But you're like, no, but you're talking about marriage, you're talking about the kingdom coming. Yes, but I'm a prosperity preacher. So there was a contest. Okay? Who is Anya Singer? And the crowd was today to decide. Now, the two preachers, the first preacher was Nicodemus. All right? The second was me. Okay? Moses. All right? And we're all, you know, we're all the Indian man. Basically, I was winning. Oh, I won. I was the best. Okay? Now, and this is where, man, the children of God, man, they go by sight. You know, first of all, God says, there's a guy I've anointed in this country for prosperity. You know, and in a country, there can only be one president. But because this guy has some old Harrier, over which model? And every Sunday, now, if he ever puts in on another shoe, we shall be shocked. You understand? Okay? So, you know, people are carnal. God tells you that one. But you're like, God said. Now, the dream actually showed that basically you're carnal. Okay? In the dream, I was the best prosperity preacher. Why was I the best? I guess because I haven't abused you. Financially. I always don't come up with a project to get your money. You understand? Stupid thing to promise you what? If you do this, hey, this is going to happen. Eh? But that's what Nicodemus is doing. And he gets a lot of money from you. And so without a lot of money, he really looks prosperous. Then you say, yes, prosperity anointing. Then you add him more money. Can you imagine? A thief. Let's say there's a preacher who is also a thief. So this preacher comes and breaks into your house. Okay? Steals your stuff. Okay? Now, because maybe you're rich, and when he steals your stuff, so he has more stuff, isn't it? Because of what he has stolen. So he's rich. Isn't it? So because he's rich now, you give him more money to tap into the prosperity, what? And then he will grow richer. These things are very sad. Okay, now, in the contest, before it ended, this lady, she's not in LIT. This lady saw the cross of Jesus, okay? And they beat Nicodemus' side, the cross, basically, you can say the heart of God was bleeding. This lady saw blood dripping from the cross. You understand? And then on my side, the cross was shining. It was so bright. And then God said, that is a prosperity preacher. But you prefer those who abuse you, who always promise you, hey, there's always something coming. In fact, increase the giving. Because now, if you stop now, it won't come. You know, very sad things. Okay? What a beautiful name it is. Okay? So, the couple would later join the guests in the celebrations and for the marriage supper or the lamb. You know, concerning you, the church, Jesus said, or the Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. All right? And to her, you, the church, was granted. You know? Was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And it saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it said unto me, these are the truth sayings of God. Okay? The point is, you are so loved by the Lord. And the groom, he's a king of kings, he's God. Okay? So, we shouldn't put anyone to be equal to him. Like that song says, he has no rival. You know, he has no rival. He has no equals. You understand? He has no equals. Okay? And you yourself as a church, you have no equal. You have no rival. You are the precious bride of the Lamb. He loves you so much. Okay? He shed his blood to pay the bride price for you. He left you the Holy Spirit as a down payment to tell you that I am coming again for you. And while I am away, I'm preparing a place. Okay? A place. Okay? For you and I. Glory be to God. He's coming again. Glory be to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your children. I pray for them, Father, that you may give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the fact that they are loved by you. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, they will know how deep, how wide, how great is the love that you have for them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, based on the context of what we're talking about, I pray, Father, that for those who are unmarried, may you make their marriages fruitful. May you make their marriages pleasant. I pray for those who are single, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that every one of them shall meet the person they are to get married to. In the name of Jesus, every one of them, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your drawing them close to their partners. In the name of Jesus. Whether they have been married before or not, Father, in the name of Jesus, you always have good plans for us. So in the name of Jesus, may they walk in your perfect will. For it is along that path that they will meet he or she that you have made for them. I bless your name, Father, and I glorify you in Jesus' name.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.